The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
As if we didn't have enough problems getting started with the show, today we're trying to do our first like remote dial-in in for Uncensored. So it's taken us exactly 16 minutes to figure out how to do this. But we're here, and we got the Dan Johnson in the house. Dan, what's up?
Oh, not too much, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm excited. Like, I'm pretty jacked up right now to be a part of this, man.
I'm very excited. Before we talk about who Dan is, I got to say, we're going to drop these in. My buddy owns Wildland Coffee, and he's a small business entrepreneur, and he said, hey, dude, if I send you guys some coffee, we try them out on the show and let people know what you think. So we're going to do this. Jacob's never had it before. I've never had this roast. So the whole deal here, Dan, is it's like a tea bag of coffee, and it's perfect for backcountry. That's what he sells them for.
Yep.
And so it is at 10:25, we will have ideally the perfect roast of coffee. So we'll circle back on this in a second. But his company's Wildland Coffee, and I believe the website's wildlandcoffee.co if you want to check these out. But love what Zach's doing. I've had the one that Jacob has, and I will say it's like better than anything else I brew at home. I'm not worthy of the cup of coffee we're going to have here. So
yeah, I've had that light roast too. It's awesome.
It is awesome. It is awesome. All right, Dan. So you and I have known each other for a while.
Yep.
And I love what you're doing. And then we came up with this show format that we're doing here. And, you know, kind of finally just took off the guest off the table of doing that traditional guest and expert format because we realized we weren't really good at it. And yep. It fully makes me appreciate guys like you who are good at it. You know, I think we did like 200 and some shows on two other Restless Native and Gearbox Talk. And logistically, it's really hard. And so what's funny is we said, well, screw it. We'll just start talking about, you know, we'll do a show where we come in, talk about our weekend, kind of just hanging out, no pressure, no need to be an expert. And it's turned into just hilarious stories of epic failures in the woods, waters, and whatevers. And there's been some success. We had a great deer season. You know, these guys talk about the fishing trips and stuff. But what's funny is that's the show that people have really connected with. So just to get everybody else up to speed, this is Dan Johnson. the founder of the Sportsman's Empire. And so we started talking to Dan, and we were like, we like what you're doing. You like what we're doing with this new show. Feel like we should be working together. So Dan and Braden got this relationship worked out to where we joined Dan's podcast network. And part of this was like, well, we should get Dan in every now and then to talk about, you know, what he's up to. And then we get a little bit of an expert in, yeah. in our ranks here. At
some
least.
Intelligence.
Somebody who actually knows what they're doing.
Some reasonable intelligence from time to time. But then funny enough, Dan was like, nah, man, I just want to come in and hang out and BS with you guys because, you know, it's so different than what else I do. So anyways, Dan, yeah. welcome as a occasional co-host of Uncensored.
Yeah. And you used a word in your description of me, and you used it at expert. Dude, I'm not an expert at anything at all, period. So yes, I've done something a lot of times, but I still don't feel like I'm an expert, man. I mess up every day.
Dude, well, that's part of it, and it's almost like the more you get out and do stuff, the more you figure out what not to screw up next time. That's kind of how I look at it. I've gotten to see that with Braden, who had hunted some as a kid, but I think Go Wild kind of threw him back into deer hunting, 100%. And it's been fun. If you go back and just listen to episode one of Uncensored and go forward, you can hear Braden learn how to deer hunt. And then last year got his first public land archery buck. Was super proud of him. So it is what you said, though. It's like everybody's yeah. always screwing up along the way.
Yeah. Well, it's only a matter of time till he has his own deer hunting strategy podcast where he gives advice to other hunters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's like it's like the evolution of it yeah. all. You know, you end up with your own show. Braden keeps trying to get Derek to do his own show because Derek is actually probably the most – most expert-y, not he's yeah. not an expert, he would be
proficient.
He's the most proficient of any of us, I would say, at most thing, or at like the hunting. He's a hunting and trapping side, yeah. he's a fool. So we keep talking about giving Derek a podcast, but I think we need an angle on it. It's like, you know, Derek just sits down and you know, he's got to come up with something that's totally new.
Yeah.
You know,
no, we're working on it.
No guest format. Yeah. Oh, you're still trying to do actually.
Oh,
do
I'm
it.
Still working on
you're
it.
You're still
yeah,
pushing
yeah, yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm going to get there someday. Yeah.
All right. I like it. Well, all right, guys. What'd you do this weekend?
Man, I did. I'm just getting ready for this fly fishing trip we've got coming up, which
next
I'm
weekend,
sure
right?
we'll talk a lot about. Yeah. Got a new rod and reel set up in December. And so just collecting all the stuff you need for that. So I got my going back and forth with Jacob on like what kind of backing I need to get. This is like when I started fly fishing with these guys, I just bought it's called the Orvis Encounter 2 setup. It's a rod and reel combo, and it actually comes like ready to roll. Your backing and your line, everything is, it even has like tippet on it, leader and tippet. It's ready to rock, which was cool and got me into it quickly, and then really liked it. So decided for this season that I would get like, you know, kind of start from the ground up, build my own like rod and reel setup. So just been working on getting that ready to go. Got some buddies that have fly fished out west quite a bit that were kind of turning their nose up at the Kentucky fly fishing. I was like, man, it's fun. Like, dust off your rod and reel. We'll get some flies for you. Come with us. So we're heading down with, I think it's like 9 or 10 dudes from, we got some people in the Go Wild community that I'd saw been logging trophies in Kentucky fly fishing, and just I commented on one like, hey, that's awesome, I fly fish Kentucky. And the dude was like, yeah, I do too. I'd be honored to shake your all's hand and go fly fish with y'all. I was like, well, prepare to be
it's
underwhelmed,
not that hard.
Yeah.
But you want to come? Like, this is coming. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna be there. So it's gonna be a really cool trip. Just been getting ready for that mostly.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, I knew you were. After trade show season, you're in a little bit of the marital debt that you
yeah,
get into.
Yeah, so I made some hefty deposits into that bank account this weekend, moved 2 tons of dirt for my wife's garden, and I made up for it. So I am off Sunday. I am out fishing.
Dan, do you do any fishing at all?
Fishing, yes. Fly fishing, no. I do have a question for Braden. What was the learning curve like for you to – be an okay fly fishing caster?
The casting part was, I mean, it's definitely a huge adjustment. I actually down in Tennessee one time, got to just on a whim, my uncle, who does not fly fish or anything, was, we were just on a vacation together with him, my cousins and stuff. And he was like, hey, I got us a small little fly fishing guide. Let's go down to this creek and do it. So my first introduction to fly fishing really was with a guide. Okay. And so I got some good pointers there. Obviously me and Jacob, good buddies. I've heard him talk a lot about it, and basically took a few of those things, kind of talked to Jacob, got my setup, and then went with Jacob for my first time. And he was next to me kind of saying like, here, you know, here's the basics. And the hardest part for me, honestly, was the hook set. And that's something I still struggle with, from going from bass fishing to fly fishing, man. Like, I'm sure on Sunday I'll be hammering some hook sets and pulling flies out of fish's mouth. But
I do that with salt water.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. There's some of the, depending on species, and some of them you don't want to rip it. And the guides always end up yelling at me. He's like, dude, you're not bass fishing. Stop.
If you're using those circle hooks too, they're meant to just start reeling and they self-hook themselves. Yeah. And if you go to pull and set the hook, it comes right out.
Yeah. I cost myself a lot of fish last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time I go for the first time of the season, I always am just like, for the first 30 minutes, just like
reset,
getting mad about pulling flies out of fish's mouth. But hopefully that's a little less time this year, messing around and screwing that up. But I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Jacob, let's try this coffee. There's never a good way to drink coffee with a headset on. Like, I feel like I should be drinking coffee when I'm recording a podcast. But see, Dan's got it going.
Yeah, there you go.
Dan's got it.
He's like, this is how you do it.
Dan, yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. So, all right, I got the dark roast here, and I have not had the dark roast before. So
I feel like this is going to burn my face off.
It might. Mm. Tell me that's not amazing.
Good, man.
That's better. Good. That's better than anything else we have.
Yeah, that's good.
I love it, dude, and it's so easy. So if you want to check it out, Wildland Coffee. Zach's an awesome dude. These things are super cheap. I'm actually taking a bunch of these when I go camping here in a couple of weeks, because throw a pot on the stove and then just pour it over, and 8 minutes later, perfection.
The no mess French press.
The no mess French press. That's right.
Well, you know, when I go fishing, especially when it's cold, and it's likely to be cold this weekend, I will sometimes take an old school Stanley thermos with coffee to be able to have that little warm up later. But it cooks. Like, it literally continues to brew in that thing. And so I could just take hot water and some of these guys, and then I don't have to worry about stanky truck stop coffee midway through the day.
Yeah, man. Cool.
So I spent
– go ahead. The kind of coffee that tastes like cigarettes. It was cigarettes.
Yes. Well-aged coffee.
Yeah. I spent this weekend – I'm putting a light bar on my SUV.
Oh, sick.
And they're so cheap now versus when I used to have lights on my old Subaru. And I had I've had them up top for a while, and then I ended up mounting them on the front. Way easier to install than when I tore into my Highlander this weekend. Mm. The freaking grommet on the firewall is like, you would have to be a mechanic to remove all of the things in between the access to the firewall. And so I spent 30 minutes trying to think of how I was going to do this weekend, and then finally said screw it, and I bought the extender, and I'm just going to go in the passenger side. Okay. So that was literally the only manly thing I did all weekend, though. Had a birthday celebration with my little girl, and it was all unicorns and rainbows and
waffles.
I made unicorn waffles. I would, dude, that was like a dad achievement of my life.
That thing was legit.
I had this waffle and took out like one quarter of it. So it was kind of shaped with the head, and then I had pink frosting, and I homemade pink frosting unicorn or the horn, and put them in the freezer. My little girl was so happy. I was like dad of the year for sure.
Yeah.
She'll remember that forever, man.
She will, dude. And to an age where, you know, when they're real little, like my littlest one right now, it's like, you know, she's not going to remember a damn thing that happens. Yeah. But it's fine. You know, you're doing it more for you remembering them having a good time.
Heck yeah.
But this one, you know, turning when they get into that 4, 5, 6, like I remember stuff from that age. So,
yeah.
That was most of my, we had unicorn pinatas, the whole thing. So,
what was the gift? What was the gift that you got your daughter?
She got, she got a ton of unicorn stuff. She got this little remote control unicorn that she can program like code to do these certain things. She liked that a lot. She got a princess Lego set.
Nice.
She got a Snow White doll. We took our son's old bike, which he had hardly ridden before he outgrew it, and we put pink or like little flower stickers and everything on it. Put a pink basket on it. It's got a little cat bell.
Sick.
So yeah, she got smothered in gifts. Lots of little. She's a girly girl. Like loves all the princess stuff. So got overwhelmed with that kind of stuff.
Sweet. On the how old
is your oldest kid?
He's about to be eight.
About to be eight. Okay. Yeah. So my daughter just turned 10 last weekend, and we made the decision that she's staying home by herself while we go to the store and things like that, so we got her a phone. Instantly regretted that. Instantly.
My son hear this episode.
Oh my god. Instantly she was instantly turned into like a businesswoman from a 1980s movie. That's the only way that I can define it. She's like, yeah, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Yeah. Hey, what are you doing? Okay, yeah, I'll be there. All right. I'm like, Jesus, this was horrible.
That is so funny. There's a company called Gab Wireless, GABB, that makes phones that don't have apps. It's basically like just, it's got all these parental controls. And I told my son, because he wanted an iPhone.
Oh.
And he's got a cousin that has an iPhone that's a little bit older than him. But I was like, dude, not happening. And then I said, at some point, you can get a Gab. And so now he figured out that Gab has smartwatches. And and it's a phone still. And they have like emergencies if they like it tracks them and all this stuff for like, again, parental controls. But now he's just asking nonstop. Like once a month, he's like, so how old do I have to be to get a Gab? Like, well, when I feel like when I'm leaving you places, is probably like there is an aspect to that. And that's imagine that was part of your decision, Dan. It's like when they're not around you, if they're staying over at somebody's house or something, it is. I can see like the safety and the benefit of that.
For sure.
And there's no landlines for the most part anymore. Right. So if they stay home,
I would probably just end up texting my son and be like, can you come down here and clean up the basement? Like that's what he doesn't understand. Like that's what's going to happen.
Things are going to get worse for him.
Yeah. Like I'll be able to find you. I'll be able to find you at any time. Like I need you to fix
especially
this
with
right
the tracking, the tracking. When my daughter goes, hey, I want a phone, my first thought was I wanted to get her a phone for elderly people called a jitterbug.
Jitterbug.
And all it is just like a phone with giant numbers on it so they can see what numbers they're hitting. And so my wife was like, that's not fair and whatever.
She's
so
gonna get she made
got,
fun of.
She got a phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of my son, this weekend he's kind of violent sometimes. He's just like a boy, likes to fight and all this stuff. And then he's been reading all these books called I Survive. So it's historical fiction, and he just read about two kids that escaped the Nazis.
Whoa.
And now last night he started reading about Pearl Harbor. This kid survives Pearl Harbor. But it's always this historical event. There's a kid that ends up making it through. I mean, they have like the 1916 shark attacks. They have the tsunami that was in 2011. But he's gotten in this survival mentality. And he yesterday spent an hour taking sticks and making spears.
Oh, dude, I did that all the time.
I did too. Yeah, right. It's like a rite of passage. But he was looking for my tools, and he's got like this planer and all this stuff. He's like, and I'm like, what's he going to come up with? Right. Like, no, sure. Wasn't even worried about it. I'm over here messing with my car the whole time, trying to find this firewall access. And he comes out and he's like, look what I did. I'm like, you could kill someone. I mean, dude, I should get this kid into Napping Broadheads immediately, because he literally had a point. He goes, you think this would pop a balloon? I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, dude, you could kill zombies with this thing. it was insane.
Has he read The Hatchet yet?
No, I'm
put that on the list.
He would eat that book up now that I think about it.
There's some mature concepts with like divorce and
suicide,
the death of the pilot and stuff.
But dude, I mean, the divorce stuff, it's like the kids today have their friends have 100%. It's like that part of it. I actually just read that book 2 years ago again, because that was one of my favorite books growing up.
Yep.
And there was an audio book of it. It was like 4 hours long. I was like, I want to do this for fun, just to go back through it. But yeah, I should get him that book because I think he's old enough to handle it. And he burns through books so fast that he honestly needs a thicker book like that. These I Survive books are, you know, they're probably like 50 pages, maybe 100 pages.
That's legit.
But my wife sometimes doesn't. She'll say, "What book are you reading?" He'll say it, and she's like, "I thought you were reading this one. You must have just quit." He's like, "No, I already read that one and another one in between."
Jeez,
like he just sits and will read for 2 hours straight.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know if it was on your show that we used to do, Gearbox Talk, or if it was another one. But I remember, I've never forgot this. Jack Carr talked about whenever his kids got to a certain age, he would give them the book Hatchet, like a compass, and then I forget something else. But I was like, dude, I want to implement that. Like, was it an actual hatchet?
Yeah, probably a hatchet.
Yeah, it's on brand for him, I guess. He's putting in people's skulls. But
I bought my nephew for, I don't know, he was probably fourth or fifth grade. I bought him the book Hatchet, and I got him a compass.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm trying to think. Like, did I steal that idea from Jack Carr? I don't remember.
Either way, it's cool.
Dan, you do some of these podcasts, and like, you do so many of them, and then you just forget what conversations were who. You don't know where you learn stuff. Yeah. And it's weird because other people like this will remember my conversations with other people better than I do.
Yeah.
Dan, how many times have you like found yourself in like an inception moment of realizing that that was actually from a podcast episode, not something you read or something?
Yeah, it could be that example, but what I am really bad at, and it makes me sound like a dick when it happens, is some guy will come up to me at a trade show and be like, "Hey, Dan, like, hey, remember me? I was on your podcast." And they don't know is that I've interviewed, you know, almost 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it was a big moment for them, but it was just an average day for me. I mean that with all respect.
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I wish I could remember everybody, but they're like, "Yeah, we talked about this buck that I killed in Ohio." I'm like, "Okay, so that narrows it down to 100 people." So, you know, just by me asking some questions, that's what I've been really good at is whittling, just asking the right questions at the right time to get an idea. Because I can usually remember the story, but not necessarily the name of the person.
Right.
And so I have a lot of those type of encounters.
Yeah. You were up at the Iowa Deer Classic. I saw some members posting and Go Wild about it. I'm kind of bummed I didn't make it up there this year. It looked pretty sick. What was it like up there?
Well, the Iowa Deer Classic, I would say, let me just back up a second. When I was back in the day, from about 2006 or 7 to about 2012, you know, so we got an 8-year period there where, man, I would go to the Iowa Deer Classic, Illinois Deer Classic, Wisconsin, Ohio, the ATA show. I'm trying to think of any other shows that we would do. The Michigan show. I don't think we did the Minnesota show. Anyway, they're cool, but there's something about the Iowa Deer Classic that people come from all over the country to come to this show. And so it's just the collection. It's a collection of some of the biggest deer in the country in one location, the stories, the products, outside of the ATA, I would say there's a lot of industry people there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great opportunity. If you love hunting big mature whitetails, it's definitely the spot for you. And I really like going to it because it's another, just like the ATA show, it's another opportunity for me to see people that I haven't seen in a long time and get to catch up with them. So not only just for the love of the whitetail, but just for the love of the people that I've met over the years as well.
Yeah.
Dan, do you guys go hard on the shed hunting out there? Cause I mean, you got some freak deer. Is that a popular activity out there?
I mean, it's popular. It's popular for guys that don't have 3 kids and aren't married. And, you know, like I remember back when I was in my late 20s and all the way into my early 30s, man, I would go.
Yeah.
And I mean, light to dark every single day. Back then I probably didn't have a, a serious job. So I was shed hunting as much as humanly possible, and I would go like 30 days a year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and find, and you know, I wouldn't find as many sheds as some of the real serious guys do, but now it's hard to get access to farms because everybody's doing it. Everybody yeah. wants to shed hunt, and especially in the southern part of Iowa, it's just this gigantic culture change from, you know, being able to knock on a farmer's door and say, "Hey, can I go pick up deer antlers?" And they wouldn't care. They were probably actually more upset with you if you knocked on their door and wasted their time than you did just jumping onto their property and shed hunting back in the day.
Yeah. Well, they appreciate it, right? Because it pops tires and stuff when they're driving around. So
yep,
it
has the potential for that. But outside of that, it's beginning to get more difficult to find shed hunt ground just to shed hunt on. And if you only have access to, let's just say 100 acres or less, there, you know, finding that many sheds is limited anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going Saturday. Me and Philly the Goat are going out to the spot where I'm showing you all these bucks are from. And we have never, like, seriously gone after them because we've never seriously had target bucks. This past season, we had target bucks. We both end up not shooting the ones we wanted to. They were great. But we want to go try to find their sheds. And aside from going and just walking around a ton, I really hadn't looked up a bunch of strategy or anything. Like, it's public. There's as much walking room as we could want. Like, I would imagine there's like a 40-yard area that we're – or not 40-yard, probably like 400-yard area that we're like really comfortable with. Like, do you just walk a circle around that and just start like looking for places? Obviously, like, that's real thick that the antlers would come off, or what are you looking for?
So, you know, this time of year – up until like 2 weeks ago, every person who had a blog or a podcast started putting out content, including myself, about where do you find shed antlers? How do you find shed antlers?
Oh, yeah.
And there's this like it's some kind of gigantic mystery of where these things are at.
Sure.
You go, and I put out a little social reel on Instagram the other week. And I was just like, here's how you do it. You go to a place where deer live. You put your head down and look at the ground, and then you walk back and forth. and that is how you find shed antlers.
Just kind of grid search it. All right.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
brute force.
Yeah. And so you go, you find the food source, then you find where they bed, and then you just walk that line. Duh.
Right.
Right. Like,
yeah, nothing crazy.
Yeah, you shed hunt the same way you hunt. You hunt.
Right.
Where they live is where they're going to drop their antlers. It's not like, oh, they're going to go drop them in a Casey's parking lot somewhere, and that's where you need to go looking for them.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we're doing that Saturday and then the fly fishing trip Sunday. So
when I'm looking for sheds, I don't find sheds. But when I go out scouting for turkey, then I find sheds.
I found one, my first one, squirrel hunting this year, and it was like years old and like – so chewed through that like I had to be careful with it, not to break it.
One of mine broke the other day because it was so because people get in here and play with them, but it had been chewed up so much that it had been broken off.
Yeah,
it's always fun to find a fresh one though. Dan, do you all do I know you all hunt turkeys out there, but is that your thing? Do you like turkey hunting?
You know, man, there was a time starting in 2001 was the first year I ever went turkey hunting. I was 21 years old. My uncle took me out, and then for like 15 years up until about, somewhere around 2015, man, I would go every single year and I loved it and it was awesome. I think it was more about who I was going with than actually turkey hunting. It's not like my relationship with deer hunting at all, because that's like it for me. But I've kind of faded off of the turkey. I've killed so many turkeys and to me it's kind of the same every year, because there's no, like, the cool thing about a buck is their antlers are different, right? And the characteristics and how a deer moves through the terrain and stuff like that. With a turkey, like, one year, this is no joke, there was a black trash bag that had blown out of some farm and got hooked on a corn stalk and was blowing in the wind, and Tom was strutting around it. And I shot that Tom. Right? So
all these decoys, just don't even worry about it. Black trash bag.
Right. And so I can, for that big time frame, it was just like, okay, you don't even need to know any type of real hunting strategy. You just go to the woods. You locate them when they're in the tree. They'll usually gobble. They fly down, and then you shoot them in the face.
So, Paul Campbell is somewhere pulling his hair out.
Right, exactly.
Oh, he doesn't have hair.
Exactly. He hates my guts. Paul Campbell hates my guts.
That's what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't know you go to where they are.
Okay.
Yeah. I go to where I want them
where
to come
to. Where you think they are.
Yeah, I go to what's comfortable for me and just try to get them to come to me. Yeah, I've been doing this wrong the whole time.
Yep. Right. Yep. And so
have you ever hunted Easterns?
Easterns?
Turkeys? What do you guys have in Iowa? Or is it
We have Easterns.
You do still have Easterns? Okay. I didn't know if it was getting into some of the other subspecies. Okay. That was one of the things I was going to ask is because I've heard out west that they're much easier to call because part of that's lower pressure, right? Like I think part of it is anyways, is that they aren't, you know, a lot of guys turn their nose up at them because you guys even further out west than you have, so many spring bear, you got elk, you got mule deer. It's just a lot more to hunt. And so people kind of turn their nose up at the old thunder chicken. But, I'm always interested to hear people that hunt any of the western turkeys and then hunt out east, if there's a difference in their mind, but sounds like you're hunting the same subspecies that we are. I wasn't sure.
All of my experience with Merriam's have been not while I've been hunting them, but when I've been looking for mule deer, and they are, because there's not a lot of places to roost out in certain parts of the West, like for example, Western Nebraska or Western South Dakota, where I spend some time. All of the trees are usually in windbreaks of farms, and so they're just in people's yards, or they're in the surrounding areas, and then they come and then they roost in people's windbreaks or something like that.
Yep.
And so that's what I've seen. And then outside of that, the TV shows or the YouTube channels or the videos that people put out where they'll sit. And then about 40 Merriam Toms start running in because they're a more aggressive species than the Easterns are.
Yeah. So you mentioned Nebraska. So it's not too far, I guess, west of you that you start to get into the Merriams, though.
Yeah, I would say it's probably 8 hours.
8 hours. Okay.
8 hours west of me. So that's like there's crossover, I would say, in the central part of the state. But once you start getting into western Kansas, western Nebraska, western South Dakota, that's when the Merriams start to pick up a little bit more.
Yeah, I didn't even realize you had Eastern still that far into the Midwest. But I also don't know anything about turkeys, which is why I'm not very good at killing them. So Paul Campbell's also still pulling out his hair.
Listen to his podcast, man.
Shout out Paul Campbell.
How
to hunt turkeys.
Yeah, how to hunt turkeys, and that's our buddy from the O2 podcast. Who we're going to get him in here soon. I'm trying to get Paul because he travels so much. Yeah. I think we're going to try to get him to swing through, and me and him are going to get after some birds out on a property I hunt. So learn a thing or two from Paul.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
It'll be fun.
Here's a quick story. He knows about my. See, I like turkey hunting. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like I do it for fun, right? This dude is obsessed with turkeys like I'm obsessed with whitetails, right? Yep. And so every time I talk about turkey hunting with him, it's lackluster. And so he gets a little frustrated. So he was at, not this year, but I think it was like 3 years ago. He was at the NWTF convention, and they started talking about all these videos that were made specifically for turkey hunting. And there was an award ceremony for the best video. And the winner of the winner of the video was me. I put out, I put out a turkey hunting video about this family tradition that we had every year, and where my wife and my kids would come to my mom's, and then I would take my wife out hunting, and it ended with her shooting a tom and things like that. And so, and then he saw my face. He was yelling like, "This guy doesn't love turkey hunting. I love turkey hunting.
He's a poser.
Doesn't even like turkey hunting."
Yeah. That's funny, man. I love Paul. Paul and Andrew are hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting out with him. Well, any stories we missed?
Well, I wanted to ask Jacob, one of his favorite things to do is like new people getting into fishing. And mm-hmm. so two of my buddies are going to be coming with us fly fishing that, like I said, they're Western kind of fly fishing guys and like turning their nose up and getting back into it. They're like, "I don't have any flies." I was like, "Relax. Like, Jacob's got you covered." And he was saying he's going to make them like a little kit to get them going. I was just curious kind of what you had in mind.
What's
for
the kit?
Them. Like, what are you planning for?
So you want me to reveal my secrets?
Oh, is that what's going on?
That fish this water? No,
it's not. Silly worms aren't that secret, dude.
You know, and I feel like a lot of anglers will get a bad reputation because they don't want to talk about what the fish are biting. I will literally hand out half a dozen flies to some old dude on the creek who's not catching anything. I'm like, use this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't mind talking about it. This time of year, if we can get some of those bigger rainbows coming up, ideally, I'm going to try some streamers first. So I'll probably give them some all-white woolly buggers, maybe some black woolly buggers. And if you don't know what these flies are, it's very easy to find them searching. They're just bushy little flies that kind of mimic a bait fish or a like a helgramite or a leech. And then you know I will always have some blood midges in my box. And so these are really tiny little red flies that seem to always catch fish down there. I have given out more of those probably than I've lost myself because they just work. And then the other stuff, I'm just going to do like simple buggy stuff, Prince nymphs, which you know, always have. What I'm hoping, because we're supposed to get some rain down there, is if the water does get a little bit stained, I'll be throwing a lot of white streamers for sure.
Right on.
So if it's not and the water's flushed through and it's cleared out, I'll probably hit the nymph game, but I'm, you know, anytime we go down there, I try to keep it simple. I take 300 flies I use like three different patterns the whole time.
Yeah.
Cause I've kind of dialed in what works well down there, but sweet. It should be fun. Yeah.
Well, that helps me know what to bring too. That was kind of a selfish question.
I knew where this was going. All right. I think one of the last things we want to mention here is just the UTV giveaway, right?
Yeah,
want to tell them how they can get entered into that and kind of run through that?
Yeah. If you don't have Go Wild yet, all you got to do is download the app, and that's going to get you a free entry. It's free to download Go Wild. You get a free entry into the UTV giveaway. This thing's like well over 40 grand. So it's definitely a good idea to go ahead and do that. If you already do have the app, all you got to do is go to your profile, grab your referral link, send that thing out, and for every person that you get to download Go Wild, you get an additional entry, and it is unlimited. You can get as many people as you possibly can and get those entries up and increase your chances. The UTV giveaway ends March 31st, so by the time you're hearing this, it's getting down to crunch time, so yeah, get on it.
Yep. So the Braden mentioned sharing. If you go to your profile, tap home screen, and you'll see a link that or a button that says Share Go Wild. And if you get that, that's going to be your custom link. So we'll track how many people download through that. You can go dump it into Facebook groups. You can go text it to your family, whatever you want to do to get some people in there and get some chances at the UT giveaway. So UTV giveaway.
Yes,
so
sir.
Also, I want to mention you can log this podcast on Go Wild. If you hit plus, hit log time, outdoors podcast, you can log and get points for listening to this show. You can tag all of us here. We have everybody here that's on the platform, and we'd love to hear the feedback. Also, I mean, really, especially this show, would love to know how you like the format of Dan jumping in here. You know, tag Dan Johnson's on the app, Braden Ware, Jacob Knight, Brad Luttrell, we're on there. So that'll help you get points, though, to work towards those rewards. And I will say, if you have not logged in a while, we just launched a bunch of new rewards hitting the system, and there will be more coming. So in addition to that, we mentioned last week or maybe the week before that we've got fishing gear coming too. So just sit tight for a little bit, a few more days, and we're going to have a big wave of fishing gear on there. But if you haven't looked in a little while, there's quite a bit
still
of new stuff.
Lot.
There's a lot of new stuff that we have in there, but there's getting ready to be a massive onboarding of fishing gear. So, all right, I think that's it for today. Dan, thanks for joining us, man. I think we learned a couple things here today on setup. I'll get a little better on the next round, but this was fun.
Hey, the next thing I need to know is where did you get your shirt?
This is one of my famed Pixar shirts here at Go Wild. They make fun of me for this. But this shirt is from a company called Roosevelt's. And it's RSVLTS.
No vowels.
And $70 no, button downs.
It is. But Jacob, they also hook you with the rewards. There's like $75.
They're cool shirts.
But even worse. Dude, I made fun of Braden for having an $85 shirt last year.
Oh, yeah, the boutique shirts. Yeah, you joined the crowd. Yeah,
I love them.
But I ended up going all in because these things are like a flex fabric.
Which is
and
what I
so
have.
For when it gets hot, this is the way to go because it's super breathable. But this one is, I'm a big Pixar nerd. I love Pixar. Okay. And it's got all these references to all the Pixar movies. I think there's like 28 references to different Pixar movies on here. I only wore it today, actually, because my son picked out my watch band color. And he's like, you got to wear that watch band tomorrow. And I was like, well, that's pretty bright. I only have a couple shirts that roll with that. So, yeah. So I am a big fan of these shirts, though. You will see them more often as we get into the summer because I've got a whole collection of them at this point. I'm sitting on like 10 of these. This is my most obnoxious one, though, for sure.
Well, I need to – now I know what I'm getting into. I need to up my game a little bit the next time I'm on, and I'll come ready. I'll come prepared. I'll come looking fresh.
Yeah, okay, Hawaiian good. Shirt and a cigar. There you go.
I'll start wearing my gas station tie-dye shirts when it starts getting warmer.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love your shirt. Don't ever change, man.
I'll try not to.
Those Indian Spirit wolf shirts.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait to see the wolf shirts start coming back out.
I got some new ones coming.
I might get a custom one made for Braden. It's ooh, like my face as the moon.
Sold.
And it's howling up like that.
I'll wear it once a week.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next week, we're out.